Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one.
Welcome, everyone. This is Psychic Jethro on Psychic Jethro Radio. Those of you who are tuning in new for the first time, relax, sit back. Those of you telling your friends, remember, 773-897-6461 is the way to get in and talk to us on the show. We have a phenomenal guest today. I have a lot of individuals texting, typing. Remember, we have our chat room where you can get in. We have our websites there, and you can make contact that way. Or if you prefer, catch us, though, you know, on Facebook and talk to us. I'm going to take just a minute for all the new fans. All of you, all the regulars are already getting excited. This show is a Psychics Gone Wild is a very strong show that works with individuals. We bring in people that are well known to help you with things that other people would say maybe are not always the way of the normal world, which I don't know what is normal, but we all know that we all find those extraordinary gifts and abilities we have. And we have a phenomenal guest. Those of you are writing in, yes. We have a really good person coming in that's going to talk with you, who has a phenomenal book out. It is the not only a really good self-help, but I'm going to explain to you how it helps in a lot of areas, everything from relieving stress to working with you to increase your energy, helps resolve issues with work and family. So a lot of you clients that are calling in are going to be excited when he comes out. For those of you new to it, I am Jethro. I am part of Native American. I was born with the ability of being able to see or sense energy. After a near-death experience of having a drowning incident where I was taken to a swimming pool and I did didn't swim. I went straight to the bottom. They revived me back, and I am able to be very clairaudient. So for those of you tuning in for those readings, stay on the line, because we're going to talk and we're going to go through it, and then I'll give you a few minutes and be able to help you there on the phone with a quick, you know, mini reading to see what I do. And for those of you new to that, go to psychicjethro.com and check out all the stuff with it so we get to know. I can't wait anymore. We've got a phenomenal person, and I know all of you can't, because we're getting all of this excitement here. You're going to love this man. This, our guest, which we were very fortunate today to have, is Leonard Perlmutter. He is one of the world's most leading pioneers in the introduction of meditation, and he works with, having founded the American Meditation Institute, has a phenomenal book, The Heart and Science of Yoga, and it's an empowering self-program. What it works with is it works with you on your diet. It works with you on the different practices. I have a lot of you really excited. You've got to check this out. And one of you lucky listeners who goes to psychicjethro.com today listening in will be a lucky winner of one of the books. You know, what we're going to do is we'll, you know, read it out at the last of the show here. I'll call out the name. So go over there, check out psychicjethro.com, and tell me what you love with Leonard. I want feedback. You know, and there's going to be no feelings hurt. I listened today, and Jethro was eating again over the radio. Jethro was still, whatever you've got, be honest with me so I can help you help us. I'm, you know, I am psychic, but I'm also human. So without further ado, Leonard, how are you doing, sir?
I am very well. Thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate all of your abilities and your phenomenal skills helping us here. What would you say, Leonard, talk to me a little bit about your phenomenal book, The Heart and Science of Yoga.
Well, the book itself really came from my own personal practice. I've been studying and practicing yoga science for a little over 40 years now, and the book was in direct correlation to the studies that I've done, the teaching that I've done, and I felt better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually having practiced yoga science. And I wanted to share that with other people.
I love that. You're a very modest master, and I very much respect you. He's also American Medical Association and Medical Nurses Association approved and accredited. Your courses, your work, and some of the things that you work with, tell me, some of our people are writing in, we have them teasing me, you will get to be teased, Leonard, about the fact that this is new to me. I've only been a couple months into yoga. My fiance's done yoga for 27 years, and she's very limber, very much in the energy. It helped me relax. I know it helped me also become physically and mentally more balanced and attuned. So for some of us new people, tell us a little bit about yoga that don't scare us.
Well, you know, yoga means union. And so it really provides us, as a science, it provides us a metaphoric bridge in our lives that inspires us and instructs us how to connect our outer actions, meaning our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, with our own inner intuitive wisdom. And in yoga science, like in every science, we do experiments. And in each experiment, the same hypothesis is set forth. And that hypothesis is that when we use the bridge of yoga, in other words, when we can connect our outer action to our inner wisdom, employ that inner truth in thought, word, and deed, we feel better. We feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And at the same time, the corollary to that hypothesis is also tested. When we do not use the bridge of yoga, when we don't have a philosophy of life that encourages us to base our outer actions on our inner wisdom, and in fact, our thoughts and our words and deeds eventually are in conflict with our inner wisdom. When we have conflict in the mind, then we experience increasing amounts of stress and dis-ease and pain. And so what yoga science turns out to be is the oldest form of mind-body medicine. And in order to experience the happiness and the health and the security that each of us deeply desires, yoga science provides us this philosophical and scientific template, if you will, for seeking and discovering the truth and then employing it. But to But to begin the practice, we first have to use our own mind-body-sense complex as our personal laboratory to undertake the scientific experiments with truth.
I love that, and it's very true. And I, you know, we've got people writing in and confirming it. We have one of our listeners here, Denise, is writing me from Colorado, asking, "I really love the show today. Thank you so much, Jethro, for bringing in a perspective during these chaotic times of Mercury retrograde. I know it's stress. Can Leonard let me know? I do have some problems and some issues with my knees. Can I still do yoga or different parts of yoga, even though my knees are very much messed up, where I'm not able to really walk?"
Okay, so you bring up a wonderful point. The knees reflect the psychology of second chakra. Now, there are different bodies within bodies within bodies. Just like the Russian nesting dolls have a doll within a doll within a doll, the outermost covering in the chakra system is what is referred to as the food and water sheath. It's what we consider our body. But subtler than that is the mental body. And between the mental body and the physical body lies the energy body. And the energy body can benefit and can also retard the efficacy of both the mental and the physical body. So let's talk about the knees. The knees are represented by the second chakra. Second chakra is at the top of the pubic bone. It's referred to as the urogenital region. And the element that predominates in that chakra is water. And water represents fluidity. Okay? So if we have conflicts in the mind surrounding fluidity, then it stands to reason that we might have issues with our knees. So how do we deal with the knees in a situation like that? The key is the mind, because the mind moves first and the body follows. We can't even raise our hand over our head without first entertaining a thought. That's how powerful the mind is. And so, in real life, in the midst of every relationship, what we need to do in this type of situations, if my knees were compromised, I would want to make sure that in every single relationship, I have a fluidity of movement. What does that mean? It means that most people are enslaved to things that they like and things that they dislike. Things that we like them because they represent a memory of pleasure. And things that we dislike, we want to avoid because they reprise a memory of pain. But if we keep on only liking the things that we like, that seem pleasant to us, and avoid that which is unpleasant, we become mentally inflexible. Mentally inflexible. And that mental inflexibility can affect the knees. So when I was a younger person, I would exclusively eat food that I liked, much of which really was against my inner wisdom, but I liked it. So I thought that, well, that must be my discrimination talking to me. Go ahead and eat it. But a lot of the things that I ate that I liked didn't like me. And a lot of the things that I didn't like did like me. So I switched it. After years of study and practice, I began to eat food that liked me instead of just eating food that I liked. And so by doing that, I become more mentally flexible. And the more mentally flexible I am with my likes and my dislikes, I become physically more flexible. And so I'd like you to do a little experiment in that regard to this listener. Disregard the knees and think about the mind and look for opportunities to be flexible. You know, if I like chocolate ice cream and I have a chocolate ice cream cone, that's okay. But if I'm so attached to it that I have to have it all the time because I like it so much, well, that's going to make me sick eventually, right? So I need to be flexible in the choices of both my likes and dislikes. And the key is the bridge of yoga. The bridge of yoga is a template for making conscious, discriminating choices. The bridge of yoga uses our conscience. The conscience is a very interesting function of the mind. The conscience, which is in Sanskrit, it's called buddhi, the conscience can reflect perfect wisdom from what yoga science refers to as the superconscious portion of the mind. Well, most of us have never heard of the superconscious mind. Well, the superconscious portion of the mind lies beyond the conscious mind. It lies beyond the unconscious mind. The superconscious portion of the mind is the same portion of the mind that we all have access to, where Albert Einstein saw mathematical equations, where Paul McCartney hears beautiful melodies. It doesn't mean that I'm going to become a songwriter, and Jethro, it doesn't mean that you're going to become a mathematician or some kind of an engineer. What it does mean is that the more that we build and employ the bridge of yoga, where we join our outer actions to our own inner intuitive wisdom, using our conscience as our guide, then the consequence will enable us to fulfill the purpose of our lives without pain, without misery, without bondage. And we increasingly become mentally flexible. It doesn't really matter what comes to us. We can deal with anything as long as we can use the bridge, counsel within, take that inner wisdom, and turn it into our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We become more mentally flexible, and as a consequence, we become more physically flexible.
Very excellent. And those of you tuning in, this is Psyche Jethro here today with a phenomenal guest, Leonard Perlmutter, author of The Heart and Science of Yoga. And those of you tuning in, we got a lot of you guys writing in. We'll be getting to the phones and doing a few readings and hope you guys are ready for just a very good, positive, empowering work here. I'm so impressed with, you know, you, as you were saying, Leonard, you know, the chakras, and I agree so much with you. I see this with clients that come in with fear or stress. He's talking about, with those of you tuning in, about meditation, yoga, putting this together and, you know, putting together something that's going to heal you. Those of you who are having stress during these times or work with it, this is an age-proven system that can help you. Leonard, we have another gentleman here. Joe Montella writes us from California. I always have a side ache on my left side, and I have had doctors look at it. There's never been anything with it. I obviously got something here. I don't know why it happens. It doesn't seem to have any pattern. They've never found anything, like I say, physically, but would this be related to my chakra, or am I mentally putting this pain in my side whenever I get to thinking of life in general? Okay.
You know, my experience is this little gremlin of pain has a way of moving around the body. It could be on the left side, it could be on the right side, it could be in the back, it could be in the foot, and it seems to move around. So from a yogic perspective, from the perspective of yoga science, it's about concentrating on our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and making sure that our outer actions are in harmony with our inner wisdom. You see, if we don't have a philosophy of life, and our thoughts and our words and our actions wind up conflicting with our own inner wisdom, that inner conflict that remains unresolved becomes the mother of all problems. And so, depending on where our genetic weak links are, or where our proclivities are, we will experience pain because we have inner conflict. If we, through relationships, can base our thoughts, words, and actions on our own inner intuitive wisdom reflected by the conscience, then the reduction of that inner conflict will also reduce the inflammation of the pain in the body.
Phenomenal.
All the body is in the mind. The body is a projection of the mind. It's very powerful.
I agree so much. I know those of you tuning in for years with Linda Goodman, there was different books that she wrote, different things that she wrote. She was a phenomenal astrologer for you new people to metaphysical, holistic. The things you're talking here are very, you know, some of the things she touched on. And I remember in the 70s, it was a big, ooh, you know, thing when people were like, oh, my gosh. And I love you taking this out to the world. I know you have people taking this book for educational credit. I mean, this is a phenomenal book.
Physicians and nurses now receive continuing medical education credits. And so you know something has changed when the AMA and the Nurses Association are endorsing it. Something has changed.
Did you know this, Leonard, as a child? Did you sense that you were going to make a difference with all of your studies? Because I know to be a master, you've done this, like you said, 40 years. You've been out there working it, and my compliments to you. This is not easy for those of you tuning in. You know, you put a lot of your life into it. Did you have a feeling you were going to be this person helping with this, or did what?
You know, I never really thought that. I always have been philosophically oriented. And I've always looked at the world from a philosophical perspective. And when I first started studying yoga science, it became clear that my calling in life was simply to be in service to this wisdom. It's the most ancient mind-body medicine ever conceived of by man. And the more that we can use it, we can transform the stress in our lives. We can transform the fear in our lives. We can transform the anger in our lives. We can transform the greed in our lives into strategic reserves of a healing energy, willpower, and creativity. You see, fear and anger and greed are not bad. They are, in fact, our creative energy in an improper, contractive, and debilitating form. If we give attention to them and we serve them in conflict with our inner wisdom, then we're going to experience pain. It's nothing personal. It's strictly business. That's just the way it is. If we choose to act, speak, and think in ways that are in conflict with our own inner wisdom, the consequence is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual dis-ease or pain. So if you take a look at fear, And we know that fear and anger is really rampant in our culture today. You just turn on the television, you watch the nightly news, and it's really all about fear and anger. Well, fear and anger are not bad. They're just energy in a debilitating form. And what did we learn in fifth grade about energy? Well, we know we can't create it, and we know we can't destroy it, but we also know that we can transform it. So when we were in the fifth grade or the sixth grade, we did little experiments. We took ice, we added heat, and it turned into water. And then we heated the water, and the water evaporated into gas. Well, it's the same with fear. It's the same with anger. It's the same with selfish desires. Instead of acting on it, speaking in service to it, thinking about it, if we can sacrifice it back to the origin from which it has come, and of course everything comes from the supreme reality, right? We call that God. So if we can offer it back instead of acting on it so that our outer actions reflect our inner wisdom, that debilitating and contractive energy can be automatically transformed into strategic reserves of energy, willpower, and creativity that can enable us to fulfill the purpose of our lives without pain, without misery, and without bondage. It's very similar to, Jethro, say I had 20 gallons of crude oil that I just received from Saudi Arabia, and I put it into your automobile or your truck. What would happen? Well, you'd be very upset. If I put crude oil into your into the engine of your vehicle, it would wreck your engine. It would cost you $5,000 or $10,000 to have the engine overhauled. Be very upsetting. But let's say I didn't do that. Let's say I took that crude oil from Saudi Arabia and I sent it to a refinery in Texas and asked them to refine that crude oil into gasoline. And then I took that gasoline and I put it into your gas tank. You'd be very happy. You could drive around for 300 or 400 miles. It's the same thing with fear. It's the same thing with anger. It's the same thing with selfish desire. They are coming to us in different forms of relationships, comes from the unconscious mind into my conscious mind. Once the fear is made conscious, once the anger is made conscious, once the selfish desires are made conscious to us, then we can do something with it. If it were unconscious, we wouldn't even know that it was there and that it was affecting us and pulling the strings of the puppets. But once in a relationship, like if I'm driving down the highway and some crazy driver going well beyond the speed limit cuts me off in traffic, forcing me to slam on the brake, that releases a little bubble of anger from my unconscious mind into my conscious mind, and within a split second, I'm raging with anger. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to act in a way that is in conflict with my inner wisdom, in conflict with my conscience, or am I going to honor it, witness it, and offer it back to the origin from which it came? No, thank you. I have no use of this. Please transform this power. And in fact, sacrifice is the mechanism for transformation. It is in giving that we receive. We have to give up something that we value that conflicts with our inner wisdom in order to receive something that we need.
I love it. Tabitha writes here, she's saying, I'm in here, Arizona, Jethro. I can't wait to see you in Sedona, Arizona again. I keep the tape that you did for me, and I listen to it again. I need to get with you. Let me know when you're here. Hopefully, I can get with you sometime. Definitely, Tabitha, get with me at PsycheJethro.com. I do phone. I know a lot of you guys from me living there and through the years at Crystal Castle. I'm proud to say one of the Sedona's top psychics. I was the new age before it was new, so I'm telling you my age. What I love about you guys that are writing in and excited about what Leonard's talking about, this is why you guys talk about me looking younger. If you will go back through my Facebook or look at them, before my KK, which all of you know, my fiance, I love dearly, the world, love of my life, before she came and brought this into my life, I did not do this. I ate whatever I ate. I grabbed what I did. After doing not only just the regular yoga, and I always did meditation, but what I did by putting some of this together and what Leonard's talking about today with you, it will change your life. I do not eat pork anymore, only because it doesn't resonate with me. I don't feel it where before. Different things, you will start to get your vibration. He's talking about balancing your yin and yang, putting that higher. For those of you that are readers, the kundalini will raise the vibration, thus your third eye, your other intuitive opens. There's, you know, meditation is the answer for those of you tuning in. I'm just excited, Leonard. We got people right there. They go, yeah, this is the first time that Jethro has ever calmed down. Leonard Perlmutter is a saint because we love Jethro, but he gets so hyper. Sometimes I have to listen to the show twice. I have a question for him about my daughter. My daughter seems to be having migraines and nobody's found an answer. She was thinking about doing shoulder exercises. I did cheat and wrote to Jethro this week, and he said that I should ask today on the show. What do you think, Leonard? Is there something that her daughter could do? She's only 12, that could maybe help her with some of the stress she's feeling in the back of her head that I can't find.
Well, again, we deposit stress in different places. But in ancient days, you have to remember, in the ancient times, they didn't have a word for stress in their language. The word that they used was ignorance. What does that mean? They didn't have a word for stress. They used ignorance. And the reason that we have stress that leads to migraines, that leads to all sorts of different forms of dis-ease and pain, is that we are ignoring who we are. We are ignoring from where we have come. We are ignoring why we are here. We are ignoring what's to be done. and we are ignoring where we will go when the body dies. You see? So it's critically important that each of us as human beings, and this is our destiny, is to find out who we are from where we have come, why we are here, what's to be done, and where we will go. We must learn that we are citizens of two worlds. We are essentially spirit. We are an eternal being. We are pure consciousness, wisdom, bliss, and fullness. Having a human experience in time and space, in duality, through a mind-body-sense complex. And our job in the midst of every relationship is to unite those two worlds. You see, consciousness contains an intuitive library of wisdom that is accessible only by human beings. No other animal has a conscience that can reflect that super conscious repository of wisdom. But human beings can. And the more that we use our conscience, known as buddhi, to access this super conscious wisdom to determine our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, then it's not necessary for there to be stress, because we know who we are. And every relationship is an opportunity to unite the two worlds. The problem that we have with pain and stress is that we forgot that we're a citizen of two worlds. We believe that we're the body. We believe that we're the mind. We believe that we are our thoughts. We believe that we are desires. We believe that we are our concepts. We have relationships with all of them. I mean, I have a body. It's the vehicle of action in the world for me. I have a mind. I have thoughts, desires, and emotions, and I have relationships with all of them, and yet I am not the body. I am not the mind. Our job in the midst of every relationship, in order to be happy and healthy and secure, is to unite the two worlds. And that's where the bridge of yoga comes in. Because the bridge is a philosophical and a scientific template that unites our outer actions, thoughts, words, and deeds with our own inner intuitive superconscious wisdom. And the more that we can unite the two worlds, it's not necessary for the dis-ease and the pain to develop. Pain is the shadow of the outstretched hand of the divine reality tapping us on the shoulder and asking us, are you prepared to make a mid-course correction? Do you remember those news videos when Neil Armstrong touched down at the on the moon? He was flying that little lunar module from the mothership down to the moon's surface. And as he was flying it, there were these onboard computers that were reading all sorts of telemetry, how to press a certain button to fire a retro rocket, and then fire another retro rocket, and then fire another retro rocket, so he would have a soft, safe landing on the surface of the moon. Well, we are receiving the same type of telemetry from our conscience to help us and inspire us and instruct us how to make mid-course corrections so that this will be an enjoyable and a healthy journey for us and a rewarding one. Yoga science provides us the template to do just that.
Everyone that's tuning in today, we are excited, and we thank you so much, Leonard Perlmutter. We're looking here at a lot of you that are coming in. We're going to grab the phones here, so get ready. I know that we're having Mercury retrograde. For those of you who don't understand, Mercury, the planet, is going retro with our planet. It causes a little chaos, a little chaotic with the communications. The excellent thing is this is a time to correct them. That's why we were fortunate to have the phenomenal guest here. You know, one of the things that we need to talk about is the 10 meditation benefits, for those of you who know, and there's a lot of it. You think about 10 meditation benefits. It's in the encyclopedia is what this is, the guide to meditation and yoga science is what I call the phenomenal The Heart and Science Book of Yoga by Leonard Perlmutter with Janez Cortez Perlmutter. They have put together something, this is a must-have book, and these 10 meditation benefits are: it relieves stress, anxiety, worry and burnout. It works with helping you enhance your immune system, achieve and maintain a healthy weight, end unnecessary health care costs, lower blood pressure, and reduce pain. Also learn how to love yourself, resolve marriage, family, and work issues, cultivate loving, maturing relationships, and realize your divine self and life purpose. So I've got all of you guys writing, and I want to be with this meditation master. Do you do private ones? Do you and your, I know you guys have, we talk about the organization, just we've touched on it, at the Institute there, you have the American Meditation Institute. Do you, are you guys are still, you've been doing it since 1996, correct? Do you have places where people can go and get at one-on-one training with you and see?
Yes, I do private counseling by Skype and telephone. We also have a summer retreat where people come to learn the core curriculum. We, of course, have the book, and we have a video, a 5.5-hour video, which explains in detail my lectures that correlate to the book. That's all available at AmericanMeditation.org.
All of you guys tuned in. You heard that. You've got it over the radio. Those of you who can't get into the chat room, AmericanMeditation.org, correct?
Correct.
We thank you. We've got, and I love all you guys in California. Thank you guys for tuning in. Yes, and you're going to be able to do it listening to the show. We're doing this great. You've got a lot of new fans now that just love you. I want to tease some of you guys that are telling me that, you know, we've been blessed with this man, and I just want him to know how valued we feel for him coming on Psychic Gone Wild and Psychic Jethro Radio. For those of you tuning up into Canada, it's Living in the Psychic Realm. So you know where, you know who I am, I know who you are, and you know I wouldn't tell you anything that wasn't. I've been doing this 30-some years, and the reason is because I tell you not only the truth, but I also tell you what we have. And my mission in life after the Drawing Institute was to use these abilities, these different things that I'm finding along my path to help. Yoga came to me in Sedona, as you guys know, and then later on, Kay worked with me and got me really into it, where I realized, as he was saying, I know a couple of you are writing, Jethro, it's very awkward for me to meditate, and I can't seem to find a white wall as I've had. I went to class. Is there any advice that Leonard has for me that would help me be able to put my mind at a focus, because I can't seem to let the daily things go by?
Well, I will say that we all meditate in different ways at different times, not seated silent meditation, but any time the mind and the energy of the mind is focused on one object to the exclusion of everything else, that's a meditation. The first experience that I had with meditation, the very first when I was a child, was when I fell in love with Elvis Presley. When I was 9 years old, I fell in love with Elvis. I loved him when I was 19, when I was 29, when I was 39, when I was 49, when I was 59, when I was 69. I love him today. And because I gave that attention, all my attention, to one of his songs, it made me feel fantastic. But it wasn't really the song that made me feel fantastic. It was the fact that the energy of my mind was focused at one point. You experience the same joy and the same bliss with any activity. That's why people love to play golf. That's why people love to eat an ice cream cone. That's why people love to go to Vegas. It's why people love to watch the movies. Because certain experiences are so powerful that they focus the mind automatically. Well, meditation can train us how to do that without any external object, so that you can always be centered in that fullness and bliss of your essential nature, and know that nothing is going to come to you beyond your capacity to handle it, because your conscience, your discrimination, can access superconscious wisdom that will tell you 24/7 what is the thought to think, what is the word to speak, what is the action to take that can resolve every challenging situation? And I think that it was Einstein who said that a problem cannot be solved on the level at which it arises. It must be solved on a higher level. And the higher level is yoga science. You see, there's two different kinds of knowledge. The knowledge that we're most familiar with, that we rely on every day, is called lower knowledge. And lower knowledge is obtained through the process of reasoning and from the contact of the mind and the senses with the objects in the world. It's received really indirectly as hearsay. Like right now, as I'm talking, perhaps I'm telling the truth, perhaps I'm not telling the truth. You don't really know for sure unless you experiment with it, you see. Once we experiment with it, then we'll know for sure. But lower knowledge is received indirectly as hearsay from outside sources, such as a lecture, such as a book, such as television, such as the internet. And lower knowledge includes philosophy, medicine, commerce, technology, the arts, and all the sciences, including politics, government, and international relationships. Now, we can become very successful in the world using and manipulating lower knowledge, but it does nothing for the levels of stress and anxiety and tension and burnout that we experience, which become killers. That's the lower knowledge. But then there's the higher knowledge that Einstein was talking about. This is considered to be the highest form of knowledge. It represents the changeless, eternal truth that lies beyond the ever-changing relativity of the senses, the conscious mind, and the unconscious mind. Higher knowledge is always healing. It is always creatively supportive in every relationship. However, without the guidance of the higher knowledge, the lower knowledge inevitably leads to pain and destruction. And that's where we're at right now in our culture, you see. You turn on the television and you can see it every day. We have so much allegiance to the lower knowledge. We think that technology is going to be the answer to all our situations. But that's not the case. It's the guidance of the higher knowledge that teaches us how to use the lower knowledge in a discriminating, responsible manner.
Excellent. We love that. And those of you tuning in, we're going to take just a minute here. Leonard's going to stay with us. We've got people calling in. Leonard, we'd like to ask a couple questions with you over the phone. Jethro, we want to do a little bit of reading. We want to hear the fun stuff. Tell us what's going on in Alexandria. We're going to have all that. You guys stay here. We're going to be listening to Energy by Ben Sound. We'll be right back. Leonard, are you? Sounds like you've got a lot, and we want to keep going. I hope you're okay. We're keeping Leonard. Maybe if we keep him late and we get in trouble, then we're going to have to answer to Janez. I've heard that she does yoga, so she might be a little bit. She might be able to take all of us that try to hold on to her man, but we're going to try to keep you here a little longer. We've got a bunch of people. All of you guys that are tuning in, remember, if you are coming in from the MP3s and the other part, you do get this. It's just a little relayed. So can you call in 773-897-6461. We've got 720-424-203-561. You're going to get in. We've got a bunch of you behind. We're going to try to get 518-951-202-973. Oh, there's a bunch of you. So just hang on. Listen to Ben Sound's wonderful energy, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. And grab that sandwich we were talking about. What are you craving if we go into that phone?
Are you looking for today's best psychic? Look no further than JethroSmith.net. With over 30 years of helping people understand their life's meaning, he can communicate with your loved ones that have crossed over. Let his positive energy create a powerful reading for you. That's JethroSmith.net. Give us a call at 928-284-0437 and schedule your online phone session or book your house party. You can even get email readings. That's JethroSmith.net. Transform a gut feeling into an extremely heightened sense of clarity. Call us today.
And we're back. This is Psychic Jethro, Jethro Smith, and I want to thank you, Wes, for the nice commercial. The best part of it is we're out there helping everyone. It's what we're doing, and I say we. I've been very fortunate today to bring in a guest, and those of you tuning in, I know 103 up there in the part of Canada, you're also involved with this coming in. I know you were teasing me that you like country music. Jethro, your name, you should be playing country music. I listen to country music most of my life. I'm okay with it. I love all music, but I kind of got burned out a little bit, but I do love it. I do love all of it. I actually can do one of the best Colin Rays that you ever want to hear if you know, we were doing singing. I like live. We're going to go into all of you guys that are writing. Jethro, this guest is the best. I can't believe it. What do I put in for the book? You go to Psychic Jethro.com and you put in there and say, here, I'm listening to this show. I've got a couple of you guys in. I will pick someone randomly out of there and give one of the books away. We're going to give you The Heart and Science of Yoga. Yes, I will send it. I also also guarantee, because I put it on there so that we know you're going to get it, I'll have you sign for it to make sure nobody's going to get your book. I have Terry Ann writing me here in New York. I'm really nervous about it, Jethro. I really want the book. What do I have to do? That's what you got to do. You just got to go over there. Don't be shy. Leonard Pollmater, he is one of the world's leading pioneers in the introduction of meditation into the culture of firmament. He has founded the American Meditation Institute. We're all grateful that he's talking about a phenomenal encyclopedia and guide to meditation and yoga science, which is called The Heart and Science of Yoga. Leonard, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Enjoying it.
I am. Thank you so much. I hope we haven't picked your brain so much. I know you've got so much knowledge. We have people writing in all over you. You hit them with the chakras. You're talking about their food. Now they're teasing me. They go, this guy's really fun, Jethro. We made you calm down. We got to get him back. You're just going off the wall here.
Well, I'm in service. I'm available.
Going to grab the phones, and all of you guys be patient. You know, I have a Gemini rising, so Mercury in the retrograde always works with me, and we do wild things here. So, you know, be patient. Call back in if you get kicked, because we got a lot of calls. We got all of you guys calling in from California now. 720, what do you know, 720?
Yes, hello. I have one quick question, and I love the yoga talk because I really am all into that, and I really do feel like it's really great for the soul. I wanted to ask you one question though, Jethro. My husband's getting a promotion, and it could leave us here where we're in the state now, or it could, the promotion could go to another state. And I'm just wondering what you see about that.
I love that, and I thank you for calling in with my clear audience. I am very light worker. I need to get permission from your guides. Can you give me your first name?
Laura.
Thank you, Laura. What I'm feeling and sensing with you is I feel like that there is going to be the transition with you guys going to the other state, but I sense that your relationship is having a little bit of controversy, something there with working it out. They're telling me more into June. I'm feeling that's what they're telling me. They tell me that it's some kind of conflict or something with the type of career he does of the actual transition.
Okay.
And they're telling me with you, Laura, that we need to – it's phenomenal you called in today with us. You two are – do you do yoga? You said you do a little balance, and I can feel your vibration is very positive. I'm so grateful you called in because they're telling me that you and your man are working towards this – I feel like you two at the same, manifestating, and the mental, as the master was talking, the teacher here, can make this come a little quicker. I feel like – is there a little bit of conflict of one wanting to go and one not or something is what I'm feeling?
Well, he wants to go, but then I have ties here. My mother, my father died, so my mother's here alone. So that's, I feel bad. That's all.
Well, and you know, it's got to be the right vibration. I mean, 100%. And you're in fairness of it. Take mom with you. You know, I'll help with that because I'm feeling the energy. You know, Native American, we would do it. It's like, come on, you come with us. We'll all live together. It's all good.
If I can convince her, I will.
Putting that prayers out, Laura. I really feel that. And thank you for listening. And, what do you think of the show? Do you think me and Leonard should be locked up? What do you feel?
Oh, I think that you're so hilarious and just the sweetest, sweetest man. And I just love all the people that you have on. It's just a really great time. I love listening.
I love you too in Colorado. It's nice to meet you. Call back in. We'll have a good time again, okay?
All right. You know, Jethro, I wanted to ask you really quick what state you feel like I would go to. There's so many.
See, that's the odd thing, and that's what I feel is part of the conflict, and see, we're getting real intense. You need to get with me on a reading. We got to set this up because I want to get really into it.
Sounds good.
Laura, I feel like that, and without seeing your aura with a picture or what I'm feeling, is I feel there's a couple of alternatives, and I feel your guys really pushing for, like, the South. I keep feeling like Texas or something. I keep getting that really strong.
Yeah, that's one of them. Texas or Austin or Houston or Dallas, that's one of them for sure.
Oh, my gosh. I feel that's where it's going to end up. And I love you, Laura.
Okay.
I better go there. I'll get crabby
with
me.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. God bless. Okay. Bye.
Bless you. Stay there listening in. Leonard, what do you feel? We're going here with it. We've got more people, and we're going to go ahead and grab another phone call. How about 203? How are you doing, 203?
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
I am hanging in there.
Oh, no.
I have a question about, I'm supposed to be starting school soon, next month, and I wanted to know if that was the best course of action right now.
And I'm going to have Leonard help me with this. Leonard, what would you say for her to do a meditation? I got to get a first name so we can read you too, okay?
Yes, my name is Toya.
Thank you, Toya. Well, help us, Leonard, here. What would you tell someone who's needing to make a decision with the meditation, or what would you suggest for her?
Well, what comes into my awareness, Jethro, is the phrase that she used when she first spoke with you, when you asked how she was doing, and she said, "I'm hanging in there." And really, you have to ask yourself every moment of every day, am I dancing? Not am I hanging in there. Which function of the mind is generating and authoring that concept that I'm hanging in? Because that reflects conflict. The truth is that you are an eternal being, fullness, bliss, having a human experience. And that means that in every situation, you need to be dancing and listening to your conscience to determine the thoughts to think, the words to speak, and the actions to take that will lead you for your highest and greatest good. And in that case, the more that you do that, slowly, slowly, you won't be hanging in there. You'll be flourishing. And when you're flourishing, your clarity of vision will be such that you will know, and you will know that you know what's to be done, whether it's regarding school or any other issue, and also what's not to be done. So remember that William Shakespeare said, "Above all else, to thine own self be true." If we're disconnected from our true self, then we're just hanging in there as opposed to dancing and flourishing in the world. Self-reliance. Self-reliance is the key. Trust yourself with small, seemingly insignificant no-brainers. If you just finished dinner, are you going to brush your teeth? That is a yoga science experiment. Your conscience will tell you that you should brush your teeth. The ego might say, no, let's not brush the teeth. That's no fun. The senses might say, oh, I'd rather just have another dessert. And the unconscious mind might agree with both the ego and the senses. But you need to trust your discriminative faculty, your discrimination. And the more that you do, you'll know whether you should go to school or whether you should not go to school, and you will know what form of education would lead you for your highest and greatest good and which would not.
Yes, and Toya, I'm sorry, we got a couple minutes. I'm rushing here, and I don't mean to push. But Toya, we've got you in energy here that you already go and do what you want to love. I feel like that's part of it, and I feel like there's some situation going on there. You have some other people that are feeding on your energy or something that you're not putting up your boundaries?
Yeah.
And that's what I see with the energy, and I sense that, and I love it. Leonard's right on. We've got that energy. We're going to work with you. We're going to make your life all good. You'll be calling me and Leonard next month going, look what, I kick butt, took names. I'm in the game. I feel you grabbing that vibration. You've got to get into this part of what you need, and that's exactly what he's saying, what we're feeling. The guys are showing me also you putting down your foot. I feel like there's something with the male there. There's something going on that I keep feeling this other person kind of like he's in and out or something. There's something going on with you that he needs to either step in and be that or get out of the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
They definitely want to look
at that. Definitely going through that.
Yes, and you are worth it. I see very light lavender energy around you. I see this person. I feel like you're going to strengthen it, and then I see you doing something of, you've got some really good capabilities, and that's what's getting you. Do what you love. Sit down, like he said, do that. You're going to feel that. Go to work and do what you love, and you'll never go to work again. They're telling me this is going to happen. Toya, they got me 2 minutes. I can't get in more day for Mercury retrograde. We've got to come back. You got to come and call us again, get a hold of us. And I want to get more of it, but I've got to run, okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you both so very much. And you were very clear.
I love you. God bless you. Those of you tuning in, this has been Psychic Jethro Radio. That's it. You got to come back. Leonard, we got to set up another time. We've got people going off the wall here, and they're going to kick us out the door in a couple minutes. We took it. I thank you for you stay with me through the whole show. We got people still writing in. You're a phenomenal guest. Anything you want to tell everybody before that last minute that they put us out the door?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity. The Heart and Science of Yoga is available at AmericanMeditation.org. It's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I'd be happy to speak with anybody. Contact me through the AmericanMeditation.org, and we can do some personal counseling or just to facilitate the book sale. So I want to thank you very much, Jethro. It was a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon, and I look forward to being with you and working with you in the future.
Oh, yes. And those of you tuning in, we're going to grab that list. I know you guys are all excited about the free book. We're going to grab it. I'm going in here on psychicjethro.com. James Martellis in Texas, Galveston, Texas. James, you won. You can put your full name. You're not shy. We're going to... You got your address. That'll
congratulations.
Yeah. We don't have the clap today. I have a laughing baby. I can play that. And he's happy you won. So we got all of you guys tuning in. We're going to get Leonard back here for all of you guys that are writing in. I'll be catching Leonard here and talking to him here in the next day or two. Those of you in Virginia, remember, Alexandria, Virginia, I'm here tonight, 7 p.m., Psychic Circle. We close the door at 7. Be there on time. We lock the door. I'm not letting you out until 8:30. It's real. It's on. I'm going to read you. Be ready. Sunhita Hinde is there tonight, Reiki Master Psychic. Oh, my gosh, 30-year psychic Scorpio. Tomorrow we have Patty Negri. Those of you know her, she's worked with the likes of Chevy Chase, other phenomenal people. She's here tomorrow, 4 p.m. to 5. We're going to Hollywood, so be ready for all of you California fans. And remember, if you do the Heart and Science of Yoga, let them know. Tell Leonard you let them know from here. I will give you a 15-minute reading on the phone. We'll pick a winner there. How's that grab you? Let's get you guys buying the book. You need this encyclopedia. Till next week, stay wild. It is the way to be.